So when you think about the holiday season, the Christmas season, what's the most popular symbol of that season? Tree or star, yeah. The tree, the Christmas tree. That's probably, everyone wants to get a Christmas tree. That's the one universal thing you see around almost everywhere. It'll be the city decoration. In the town I grew up in, they were up year-round. they just turned them on at Christmas season. Of course, the original Christmas tree, or what I'm thinking of as the original Christmas tree, wasn't pre-lit. The Christmas tree Ann and I have up this year, I bought in January, big lots, because it was on sale. It was a $180 tree for $38. Good price. Boxes sat out in the shed all year. Got out of the box, set it down, limbs came down, plugged it in, I was done. It's pre-lit. I got little kids. I'm not putting ornaments on it. They'll psh. My pre-lit, my tree's artificial. It looks beautiful. But the original Christmas tree, not pre-lit, not artificial. It wasn't decorated with ornaments or lights. But it was the tree that had the one light on it. It had the light of the world. The original Christmas tree is the tree that set us free. Of course, I'm talking about the cross. To me, the cross will always be the original Christmas tree, because Christ came to this earth for the very purpose of giving his life upon the tree at Calvary, the cross. Let's look again to see that purpose for which God sent his Son to earth. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 says this: "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." The message sent to earth was, a Savior has been born to you. The angel said, you will find a baby. But the angel did not say, God is giving you a baby. The message from God was, I am giving you a Savior. Sometimes we lose sight of that at Christmas. We see the sweet little baby and forget that Christ's whole reason for coming was to be our Savior. Let us be reminded that God did not place our gift under the tree, but instead, he placed our greatest gift on the tree. Christ on the cross. Christmas is really about a Savior, and therefore the original Christmas tree is the cross. Perhaps that seems a little graphic for some to imagine, and yet it is absolutely nothing less than the truth of God's love for us. Make no mistake about it, the whole reason for Christmas is that we all need a Savior and not a baby. The gift of God was not just a simple babe born in a manger, but a Savior sent to fix the broken lives of the people that God loves. Lives broken because of their sin, but repaired by the love of God in Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you a story about a mother who was decorating her Christmas tree. And nearby, her teenage daughter was waiting. The mother told her daughter, you know, I still have a lot of decorating to do here. I don't know how I'll get it all done. The daughter replies, well, I can help. You know, if I don't have to go and see Uncle Jim with you after. The mother replies, nice try, but you're still going. The daughter says, but Mom, why do I have to go there? There's murderers there. There's people who beat their wives. And all sorts of bad people. The daughter then picks up an ornament and notices that the ornament is broken. She sighs with sadness and disappointment over it being broken. The mother comes over to the daughter and observes the broken ornament. And she shares with her daughter how special that broken ornament is. That it's the one that her father made her when she was just 6 years old. Then the mother shares that that was Uncle Jim's favorite ornament as well. That when he was a little boy, he would take it from the tree and he held it and he would enjoy it so much. Looking at the ornament, she tells her daughter, "You know, this broken ornament reminds me of your Uncle Jim, because he's broken too. Uncle Jim is precious to God because God made him." Then she says, "You know, God can fix Uncle Jim's brokenness as well." She hugs her daughter and says, "We can fix this ornament." The daughter says, "Let's do that, Mom. And as soon as we're done, we'll go visit Uncle Jim together." Do you know of anyone whose life is broken like that precious ornament? Do you have a son or a daughter, a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a friend whose life is broken and needs repair? Aren't you grateful for Jesus and that original Christmas tree? The one that brings restoration to broken lives. Every one of us has been a broken ornament at some time in our lives. A precious ornament of God's creation, yet broken because of our sin. Rejoice this Christmas because of Christ on the original Christmas tree. Because of that, because of Jesus Christ, we are no longer broken. God has restored us through Jesus. Let's think about that Christmas tree for a moment. If you had to choose a part of the tree that was the most humble part of the tree, what would you say that is? The trunk? Yeah, the base. The trunk, the base of the tree. You know, in every Christmas tree, I see three parts of the tree. I see the base, the trunk. There's the middle part, the big part with all the branches on the tree. And then there's the crown of the tree. One of our trees has crowning it an angel, the other tree crowning it a star, the angel who announced it and the star that showed the way. But at the top of the tree, we see that crown. But the humble part, the base, and these are artificial trees, so it's made out of metal. But on a real tree, the trunk is made out of wood. The humble part, the manger, is made out of wood as well. That humble wood of Christ's birth. Then we see that center part, the fullness of Christ's relationship with us, the fullness of God's beautiful love in sending His Son to show us the way, and then sending His Son to die on that cross, where Christ gave His life to repair our broken lives. That is the fullness of God's love. Then the crown of the tree, the high point of God's reign and rule over life and death, that He was not defeated on that tree at Calvary. But at the cross of Christmas, He truly showed Himself to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There on the true cross of Christmas, He conquered death and gave the victory to all who trust Him. So consider the humble cradle of our Lord. The this Christmas, remember the humbleness of Jesus coming to us, placed in that wooden manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Jesus came to us in a very humble form. He came as a child. Some might say it was a weak form. But what God was bringing about was anything but weak. It was the strong power of God laid humbly in a manger. Do you realize that in order for us to receive God's magnificent, mighty power, we too must come humbly to God? We must each of us humbly admit that we are broken because of sin and that only God, through Jesus Christ, can put us together again. This Christmas, remember the humble cradle. Not only that, remember the honoring cross. Jesus came to earth to do the will of God the Father. And this is how the Son honored the Father, by his obedience to God's will. As you look at the Christmas tree this year, I hope that it reminds you of the obedience Jesus had in honoring the Father, even to the point of placing his life on the original Christmas tree, the cross. Do we honor God with such obedience? Philippians reminds us that Jesus, who came humbly in human form, was fully obedient to honoring the Father. Philippians 2:8 says, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." It was his humble cradle and his honoring the Father on a cross that makes the celebration of Christmas possible. Beyond the cross of Christmas, that original Christmas tree, we find the sweet words, "Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel." Emmanuel, meaning God with us. This Christmas, we remember the humble cross, or the humble cradle, the honoring cross, and the heavenly crown. Do you remember the question King Herod asked the Magi, those wise men, as they were on their quest to find Jesus? In Matthew 2, we read, "Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one that was born King of the Jews?' The Magi didn't ask, 'Where can we find the baby?' They knew all well that they would find more than just a baby. They were looking for a king. You see, Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His is the crown of heaven and of earth. This is what Colossians has to say to us about Jesus being Lord of all. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. "His is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile himself to all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." Jesus wears the heavenly crown as the ruler over all creation, heaven and earth, and because of God's great love for you, he sent a Savior. Broken as you were, Jesus, through his work on the cross, the original Christmas tree, has made you whole. That is, if you've trusted him. Don't miss the greatest gift of Christmas. Remember the humble cradle, a manger. Remember an honoring cross, the obedience of Christ. And never forget the heavenly crown, for He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord of all. Thank you, Jesus, for the original Christmas tree.